How to enter God's rest. How to enter God's rest. That's what we'll be talking about. And come with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 27 and 28. Matthew chapter 11, verse 27 and 28. I read from the New King James Version. The Bible declares, all things have been delivered to me by my Father. Here was Jesus speaking, and Jesus continues, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. Now, listen, he now goes further and says, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Think about that for a minute. All things are delivered to me, Jesus said. My Father delivered everything. But no one knows even me, the Son, except the Father. And no one even knows the Father except the Son. And the Son will make known the Father to whoever the Son wills. That's just put simply. Then now look at verse 28. Jesus now said in verse 28, Matthew 11, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What are we talking about? How to enter God's rest. Now, if you go to the verse 29 and verse 30 of Matthew chapter 11, Jesus now continues, take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That's interesting. You see, there's something that I've never seen before that was revealed, unveiled again through these verses. You know, I will be talking about it. Just hold on and listen. You see, there's a difference between receiving rest and finding rest. But we will continue with that. Now, how to enter God's rest. I always like one thing. To be clear about what a word means. You see, you can hear the word rest and you can hear different interpretations in your heart, in your mind. You can hear the word rest and someone can think about seven siesta after a long day. You just want to rest. You sleep at a certain time in the evening and then you wake up, you do some exercises, and then you go out, rest to some other people. I mean, you know, getting on Netflix and binge watching movies. That's the way I just rest. Rest to someone might mean relax. Rest to somebody else might mean, you know what, let me just go to the gym. I get on the treadmill, and as I'm going, you know, running on that treadmill, that's the way I rest. But what does God mean by rest? What does the scriptures that we've just read, how does it define rest in the context in which that scripture was written? Let me tell us something. I will paint a picture to us today using what happened in Genesis chapter 8. In Genesis chapter 8, you know the story. Some of us know what's there. It's the story of Noah. When Noah, remember God told Noah and his family, his wife, his sons, three sons and their wives, get into the ark. I'm going to destroy the earth. Taking animals with you, and God was specific on what kind of animal, the specific number, clean animals and unclean animals, the specific number, specks. Take birds with you, clean birds, unclean birds, specks. And then the flood came down, the rains came. Everywhere was destroyed. There was devastation. There was massive, massive destruction. The whole earth then was wiped out. The only survivors in that ark was Noah and his family. And at this time in Genesis chapter 8, they were in that ark. The Bible says in verse 4, then the ark rested in the seventh month, the seventh day of the month, and the mountains of Ararat. Now, the context I want you to look at is this. There was devastation. There was destruction all around outside that ark. Vegetation was gone. Businesses were destroyed. Lives were lost. Everybody, you know, when you really look deep into that story, it's very tragic, I tell you. It's very, very catastrophic. That's the picture of a pandemic. And I tell you something, that's the first pandemic we see globally that affected the known earth then. It's in the Bible. The Bible says there's nothing new under heaven. So the world is experiencing a pandemic now. The pandemic is just something that affects the whole world at the same time, catastrophically, that makes destruction, loss of lives. If you look at a parallel to what's happening today, is what happened in the days of Noah. People lost jobs. People lost lives. People everywhere died. Those who were planning to get married or even married, the Bible said, till the day Noah entered that ark, people were still married. So some people just, you know, got married and flood came, destroyed their marriages. Some people proposed and planned to marry maybe the following day, all that destroyed. Some people planned to marry maybe the following month, all that destroyed. They were partying. Some people were holding parties, destroyed. You know, I could imagine if it was our time, there's this, you know, handsome young man planning to propose to his princess, and he planned that day, the hour he was on his knees trying to propose to the princess, flood came, bang, everything destroyed. Massive destruction, global destruction. And then the flood came, wiped off everywhere, the ark floated. The same flood that destroyed the whole earth, the same flood was upon which the ark floated. Now in the seventh month, the ark rested. That is the picture I want to paint to you. Rest. So, what does that word rest mean? Now, let me give us the definition, the Bible definition. The picture I've painted, now you will understand this definition. Rest means to set down, to lay, quiet, to set. That's rest. Rest means to settle down and remain. So look at that ark. That ark settled down and remained on the mountain of Ararat. That was after the flood, devastation, and destruction. So rest means to be placed. To be placed. So that ark was placed on the mountains of Ararat. If we kind of interpose, you know, with words there. Rest means to be at ease, peace, quietness. Rest, to be at ease, peace, and quietness. So that is the rest we're talking about. That is the definition of the rest. Now we want to look at how to enter into. But I want to give us a definition, a revelation that came to me using this type and shadow of what happened in Genesis chapter 8, verse 4, the picture, the experience, to define God's rest. Now, we will get the real picture if we understand where that ark rested upon. Remember, the ark rested. Note that, the ark rested. You know, our brother Dadeze was sharing with us during the communion service on Thursday that the ark rested. And right there, I began to receive an understanding. The ark was what rested. Remember, there were people inside that ark. The ark rested. So it is even possible for you to be inside the ark that rested, but you are not at rest. You are agitated. There is a difference. It was the ark that rested. But let's now focus on where that ark rested on. The Bible says it rested in the seventh month. I'm not going into that seventh month, but where did it rest? It rested on a mountain called Ararat. Listen, who guided that ark to rest? What made that ark to rest? You will read it. If you read Genesis 8, you will see the context. The rains brought the flood. The rivers overflowed the banks, the oceans, everything. And the whole earth was covered with water. Who released the rains? It was God who said he was going to send the flood. So the ark itself was guided by God and made to be set, to be placed, to settle specifically on a mountain called Ararat. I tell you, every detail in the Bible is important. If you want to really understand the Bible story, read every word in detail. That mountain was a specific mountain, and that mountain is speaking. Do you know what Ararat means? Ararat means the curse reversed. The curse reversed. God placed the people in the ark itself, and made them to settle on the place where the curse was reversed. So, come with me with this definition. To rest in God means to settle down and remain, to be placed at ease, in peace and quietness, and every curse reversed. Let me say this again. This is the rest we're talking about today that we want to enter into. To rest in God is to settle down and remain, to be placed at ease, in peace and quietness, and every curse reversed. Every curse. So that is the rest we're talking about today. How to enter into God's rest, a place where you are settled down, where God sets you, where you remain, where you are at ease, peace within you, quietness, and every curse over your life reversed. A curse is just ill will, ill luck, bad luck. That's the simplest way I can explain what a curse is. Now, let's now go. How do we enter into this rest? Let's go back to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and verse 27 and 28. Jesus said, all things are delivered to me, remember? By my Father, no one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. And the one to whom the Son will reveal him. Verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So I'm the one who will set you. I'm the one who will settle you. I'm the one who will remove every curse. I'm the one, that's what God is saying, who will ease your pain. When you come to me, that is the rest I'm asking you to come and receive. So number one, how do I enter into God's rest following Jesus' instruction? The number one thing we see in that verse 28, Jesus said, come to me. Come to me. Listen, as simple as that word come is, there is something that is required. When Jesus says, come to me, it's an open invitation, but he specified who should come. Anyone who is tired, anyone who is weary, anyone who's overburdened. Are you tired? Are you weary? Are you overburdened? You are the candidate. You are the one Jesus is asking to come. It's an open invitation. Listen, an open invitation means open. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. It's an invite. It means you can either accept it or reject it willingly. Willingly. So it's open invitation, but you can either accept and reject. Can you remember the story Jesus told of a certain man who said, look, I invite people to my feasts. He sent invitations out, his close friends, big people in the society, and everyone started giving excuses. Everyone, he gave them an invitation. Everyone started giving excuses. And then he decides, you know what? I'm now going to even further open this feast, this party. He said, told his servants, go to the highways, go to the byways, Go and look for anybody you see. Bring them in. Just tell them, I'm inviting them to my feast. Open invitation. But you know what? It's not by force. It's by choice. It's willingly. God will never force us to do anything by force. This invitation is a willing invitation. This invitation is an act of your choice. It's never by force. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse number 15. Do you know what the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 15? God says, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. Are you listening? God will set before life, good, sorry, life and good, death and evil. When you see that scripture in verse 15, now, do you know what that means? It's saying that you can make a choice. You can either choose life or you can choose death. You can choose evil or you can choose good. The actual version, the manuscript of the King James Version actually puts the opposites together. It says, I put before you life and good, death and evil. So what's the opposite of life? Death. What's the opposite of evil? Good. You choose. That's what he's saying. You have the liberty to choose. Now, that's Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 20, 30, verse 15. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Do you know what it says? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. In other words, you have something lying right, you know, in that your head, right in that your medulla oblongata. It's a tongue. And that tongue can choose for you. You can choose using your tongue whether you want death or life. Whatever fruit you want, use your tongue. You can make a choice. It's not by force, it is by choice. And then when you look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. Listen, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. I will never force my way in. That's the way God operates. That is the way. Jesus said, I am gentle. I am meek. I am mild. I am humble. I don't force my way. I'm not fussy. So you can choose me or reject me. He says, if anyone hears my voice, the opening of the door is still your prerogative. And he will come in when you open the door, dine with you, and you can dine with him. Finally, that same Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Do you know what it tells us? The Bible says right there, God is now saying, I am calling heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. But you know what? Let me counsel you. Let me advise you. Therefore, he says, therefore, choose life. Choose life that both you and your descendants may live. God will always give us the option of choice. I was discussing with a precious daughter, you know, of ours. You know, I call her a daughter because of, you know, the pastoral, the privilege to be a pastor, to guide, to counsel and all that. And we were sharing about marriage. And we were looking at the book of Genesis. And when God wanted to give the first man, Adam, a wife. And the Bible says God brought different animals to see what Adam will call them, what the first man will call them. She said, I never saw this before. It meant that Adam could have the choice to choose tiger as his helpmeet. He had the choice to choose the snake as helpmeet. He had the choice to choose the giraffe. Imagine Adam chose the giraffe. I tell you something, he will probably not have problems picking things from a very, 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 very tall tree. The giraffe will just stretch his neck. That would be the help he's going to get. He had a choice, and we were not looking at it. I said, that's it. You see, don't ever say you didn't have a choice before you chose somebody and married somebody. And I said, look, this doctrine that God will choose somebody for you, God will force you to choose somebody, it's not scriptural. What God will do is he will bring options. And some people have chosen snakes. And they're married to snakes today. It's not funny. It may sound funny. But snake-like people, animal-like people, they don't resemble Adam in the image and in the likeness of God. So I said, next time you want to choose, look for someone who looks like God. God will bring you so many men that look like him. It is still your choice. You have a choice. God never forces. The greatest thing God wants for you and I is to be saved. And he doesn't even force that. So do you think God will force you to marry someone? All right, we're not talking about marriage today. So the first thing to do is to come. All right, let's note that. Second thing, to enter into God's rest, who do we come to? That same Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said, come to me. Who is Jesus? Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. When you check Luke chapter 1, verse 31, when Jesus was revealed to Mary, who was going to birth Jesus, the angel told Mary in that verse 31 of the first chapter of Luke, behold, you will conceive in your womb, you will bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. That name, Jesus, literally means Jehovah is salvation. Jesus is salvation, the savior of all mankind. He's the one, the mediator between God and man. Is God revealed in the flesh? He's the one, the Bible tells us, the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11 that we just read? Nobody knows the Son except the Father, and nobody knows the Father except who the Son will reveal. So Jesus is the one who reveals God as Father. You see, the concept of God being the old man upstairs, the one who is the creator, yes, the one who rules, the one who reigns, the eternal God, everlasting God. Listen, Jesus was the one who brought God, the revelation of God as Father, Daddy. Where literally, if you don't have an earthly father, Jesus tells you you actually have a heavenly Father. The revelation of God as Father was what Jesus brought to the whole of mankind. Who is Jesus? He says, I'm gentle and meek and mild. Who's Jesus? Humble, lowly in heart. Who's Jesus? The one who removes burdens from our lives and destroys yokes. Because he said in that same Matthew chapter 11, learn of me, I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your souls. Isn't that awesome? Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, he said in verse 29 of Matthew 11. I'm gentle, lowly in heart, you will find rest to your souls. So that's number two. Number one, you must come. That come, open invitation, it's a willing choice. Number two, you must come to Jesus. Don't just come to anything or anyone, come to Jesus. So what's number three? Don't miss this. You come to receive rest. The emphasis here is receive. Emphasis, receive. I said at the start, there's a difference between receiving and finding rest. What you say? What's the difference? In verse 28, Jesus says, come to me, and all you who labor, remember, those who are distressed, overburdened, that's the open invitation to you. Come, come, come and find my rest. Remember what rest is? Come, I will settle you. You will settle down, you will remain in me. You will be placed at ease. You will find peace in me, quietness, and I will take away every curse. So come to me, come to Jesus, come to receive. It says, I will give. Listen, how do we receive? He says, I will give. So you ask, he gives, you receive. Jesus lays it down. Ask and you shall receive. From who? From the giver of rest. So when you come to Jesus, don't come to ask for a car. Don't think a car will give you rest. Don't come to ask for a husband. Don't think, oh, come on. Many people are, you think marriage will give you rest? Come on. I'm not joking, and I'm serious now. It's not in marriage you will find rest. It's not in the gift that you will find rest. It is in the giver. The giver, in this case, is Jesus. So when we come to ask, we're praying 21 days, asking, seeking, knocking, right? When we come, can you see the foundation, the way the Spirit of God's been leading us? If you've been joining the 12 noon prayers, we have been praying, literally asking for God's heart, God's mind, asking for God himself, asking for more deeper relationship with him. Because when we have the giver, we have all the gifts. You will have, it will give you a husband, and you and your husband will go and receive rest together. That's it. You pray together, do all these things. So that's number three. You come to receive. So you ask, he gives, you receive. So right now, you can start praying. Lord, I ask, give me rest. And you know the definition of rest? Lord, settle me. Lord, help me to remain in peace, at ease, in quietness. Lord, reverse and remove every curse from my life. That's the rest we're talking about. Listen, rest is not even the absence of storm. Remember, Jesus was at rest when he said, let's go to the other side. He was asleep on the pillow. There was a storm, but he was at rest. That's what we're talking about. It's an internal thing. It's not the absence of storms. It's not the absence of war. It's the absence of inner turmoil within you in the midst of the storm, where you can settle, where you remain with God, with Jesus, in him, place that is in peace, in quietness, and you know every curse over your life is removed in the name of Jesus you have come to. Let's run now. Number four. I think next week I will share with us the purpose of this rest and the purpose of the yoke. But number four, and then I'll share number five, and then we'll close. Now, number one, come. Number two, come to Jesus. Number three, what is number three we just saw? You come to receive rest. How do you receive rest? You ask, he gives, and you receive. So number four, you come to find rest. Emphasis, find. When you come to Jesus. When you come to Jesus, you ask and you receive rest. And then there is a difference when you receive something. You can receive rest and you can misuse the rest. Now, there's a difference in asking, because when you ask is when you receive. But when you seek is when you find. You see, the finding here is that your perception begins to change. You have found something that has always been missing within you. You found rest. You found settlement, not externally, but in you. You remain in it. You are continuing to be at ease, at peace, in quietness, because your eyes are stayed on him. Listen, in Isaiah 26, verse 3, do you know what it says? He says, God will keep him, he will keep us, you, me, in perfect peace, because our mind is stayed on him. When your mind is stayed on something, you found it. I have found in David, God said, a man after my heart. That's a continuous, present thing. You can receive something, forget it, receive something, put it aside. You can receive a scripture, for example, and that scripture actually anchors your soul momentarily. But when you remain in it, you found it. That's the difference. So how do we differentiate? In that verse 28, it said, you will receive. I would say, I will give you rest. But in verse 29, it says, when you take my yoke upon you, when you learn from me, you will find that I'm gentle. You'll find that I'm lowly. That is when you will find rest for your souls. So what's the difference here? You come to find rest. You will seek for this rest. And it's a continuous thing that makes your mind to be focused on the giver of rest. You see, there are times you will receive a promise, and at that moment, you're at peace. It's like the parable Jesus gave. You hear the word, you're excited for momentarily, but your heart has not found rest in that scripture because distractions can come, anything can come, the enemy can attack, and even the cares, worries can choke what you received. You see, the problem of that seed, of the parable of the seed of the sower, every single earth, this rock received the word. Jesus was saying, the wayside received the seed. The rock received the seed. The wayside received the seed. The thorns received the seed. They all received, but they didn't find, they didn't blossom. They didn't find the fruit. They didn't blossom in the fruit because receiving, right, is different from you have found something that you are focused on. So Jesus said, verse 28, right? Sorry, in verse 29, take my yoke, learn from me. I'm gentle, I'm lowly, you will find rest. The other scripture was you receive. This one is you find. There's the difference, and that's the difference. So when you seek and keep seeking, he will keep revealing, and then you will keep finding. Finding is discovery, discovery, discovery. I can give you a gift. You receive that gift, but you've not discovered what that gift can do. That's the difference between receiving and you have found. Okay? You have found. For example, you can receive your husband. You can receive a woman as your husband. Receive the husband. Receive a man as your, sorry, a woman as your wife. You see, because some people receive a woman and think it's a man. That's part of the receiving. They never found. They only received and thought it was a man. Are you getting me? So you can receive a man now as a woman as your husband, but you have not found the husband in the man. Difference. A lot of us are praying for, some people are praying for spouses. They see all, there are lovely, beautiful, lovely ladies around. You know, I was telling somebody a joke, but don't let me even go there. That, at times what you're looking for afar is right near you, but you have not found it. You've not found it. You've not seen. I remember when I proposed to my wife, like I told you, it's our marriage, was it an anniversary, 23 years. I remember I told her, I have found a friend in you. That was my line of proposal. Come on, man. I found. And I told her, I found a friend in you. A friend that will stick closer to me than family, than brother. Stick to me for the rest of my life. And we've been sticking. She's been sticking up with all my excesses, my inadequacies, my imperfectness. We've been sticking to each other because we found in one another. Husband and wife and what God has joined together, let nothing, no man put us under. I tell you, I pray for somebody now. You've been married. You will find now your spouse, the husband you've been looking for, the wife you've been looking for. You come to Jesus and ask him to give you rest and seek him, seek his principles. Because Jesus said, when you learn from me, you learn my principles. We'll go more there next week, because we've got to round up now. And I will end with number 5. So you seek, he reveals, you find. That's how you find. When you seek, Jesus will reveal, and then you will find. But we'll go more into that next week. Number 5. And I'll just read the scripture and close. You enter and remain in God's rest. How to enter God's rest? Number one, come. Number two, come to Jesus. Number three, come to receive rest. Number four, come to find rest. And number five, you enter and remain in God's rest. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. Next week, I will unpack this. But let me close with this scripture as we begin to pray. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 to 3, I'm reading from a translation called the Expanded Bible. What it just does is it expounds the scripture, looks for the references, where the words are used, and explains it better. So I read verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 4. Now, therefore, since God has left us the promise remains, look at that word, and still stands, that we may enter his rest. Let us be very careful, beware, be wary, afraid, so that none of you will fail to enter, appear to be found to fall short. For the good news, gospel, was preached to us as it was to them, but the teaching, the message, word they heard did not help them, because they heard it but did not accept. That is, combine, join it with faith. For now, we who have believed are able, look at that word now, to enter and have God's rest. The rest, as God has said. He now says, God said, I was angry. I made a promise. I declared and swore an oath. They will never enter my rest. But God's work was finished from the time he made the foundation, the creation of the world. Number five, you now enter, remain in God's rest, because remember, you have to come to Jesus, you have to receive, you have to find. You've got to enter and remain. And this Thursday, don't miss the Bible study. I will be sharing with us some things that will help us. Why people don't enter into God's rest. Right now, let us begin to pray. Let's begin to pray. I sense right now, you should pray. We should pray. Let's begin right now in the name of Jesus. Begin to talk to the one who gives us rest. What are we asking for? Lord, I ask, I receive, I seek. Lord, give me rest. Rest, rest in every area. Rest in that area of my life where, Lord, I am experiencing nothing but unrest. And Father, I pray in the simplicity of your word as I've spoken, speak, expound to your people and help me as I'm operating from that place of rest, as even physically this morning you showed me how to stay on you. I pray, let everyone find that rest in you and you alone, in the name of Jesus. God bless you.